I'm going to make sure we're live streaming again, but I accidentally turned my mic on mute this morning and killed the live stream. And so are we working, Hannah? All right. Try to make sure I don't disconnect us this time and be able to pick it up. My dad was upset with me. He said, go figure. You're going to mess it up when I'm wanting to record it. And so Isaiah chapter 43 is where we're going to be from tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, scripture that's been on my heart all week, and a thought that many of you have heard quoted before, and one that's very familiar to us, and I want to preach it to you tonight. Just some things I want to give you and challenge you through and encourage you in and ask God to bless us. With Noah, will you go get my water off my desk, please? Here you go. Isaiah 43, when you find your place, would you stand in reverence to God's word? Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and verses 19 is what I want to read, and then I'm going to preach what the Lord has laid on our heart this evening. He said, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to preach tonight with the Lord's help. God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have to be in your house once again. What a great day we've had, and we thank you, Father, for your spirit that was here this morning. We thank you, Father, for the great day that you've given us and the great time of fellowship with our church family, and Lord, just how you've encouraged our heart today, we're thankful for it. We thank you, God, for the privilege you've given us to serve God and to love you and to work for you. And Father, we're thankful for what we know that you're doing and the plans, God, that you have for us and the goals and dreams, God, that you want to do among us, your people. Help us, God, to see your vision, to see your goal, to hear your heart, and Father, to follow your voice. And Father, we know that when we do that, all things will be well and your blessings will be upon us. And God, you'll pour out great things that we've not even ever dreamed of. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture we're going to share tonight. We pray that it challenge us, that it stir us, and God, that it cause us to go deeper with you, to think about, God, what you want to say to us and understand, God, the things that are in this passage for us to glean tonight. Thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, what we're dealing with and what we see in this passage of Scripture is that Isaiah is writing this to the children of Israel, and it came at a bleak period of time in their history. They are in captivity at the time that Isaiah is writing this, and they have lost everything that they thought that they would keep forever. They were homesick for the land and the blessing that God had promised them. And I want us to understand tonight that many times in our life, we have dreams and we have plans and we have hopes and we have desires and we have things that we long for from God. And if we're not careful, we're controlled by things that we wished for and things that we hope for and things that we dream for. And we don't let God do a new thing in our lives to show himself new and afresh and real to us once again. And I want to preach some things to you tonight. I want to start tonight by saying the first step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in our life is, first of all, change our focus. Change our focus. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? When you look at this, and I want to take this from the thought of Israel and apply it to us today. When you look at the children of Israel and what had gone on in their life, listen, the first thing we must realize as people in changing our focus is this, that past victories and the things that we've accomplished in our past and in our lives, they cannot be the things that we try to use to sustain us in our walk for God today. How many would agree that we need a new, fresh breath from God in our lives today? We need God to breathe into our souls and into our spirits a new freshness and a new renewing of His Spirit among us, a new anointing and a new power that He gives to us to know that He is God and that He is real. You say, Brother Jason, what are you referring to in the lives of the Israelites? When you look at the children of Israel, they had many victories in their past, things that God had done for them that they could hold hold on to and know that he was real. But listen, they could not hold on to them victories to give them what they needed for that day and that time. Even though God had given them victories in the past, it wasn't doing nothing for them for what they were facing at that moment. They were in captivity. They needed God to do something new. They needed God to show himself mighty now. They needed God to refresh them. Listen, when you think about the Israelites, think about all the victories they had. They had left Egypt. They were conquering the land of Canaan. They had fought prospective conquerors. They survived a split among their own country. And yet all them victories that God had given them and them things that they had overcome was not enough to sustain them for the time they was in now. And can I say to us, friend, when we as people are going to experience what God wants to do in our lives and how he wants to show himself even greater and mightier and more real in our lives, our focus has to change. We can't be looking back to what God done in yesterday's. So listen, I'm thankful God showed himself real to me. Say amen right there. I'm thankful I know he's a God who can, a God who will, and a God who wants to. Amen. I'm thankful that he's given me great victories in my life. I'm thankful that he's encouraged my faith through some victories. But listen, that don't help me for tomorrow, and that don't help me for today. Amen. I need God to do something new in my life and something fresh. Renew my faith and help me have new victories and help me have new faith in him and help me step out into new realms of trusting him and believing in him. When you look at this, they needed a new work. They needed a new miracle. They needed a new victory. And I believe that when we look at this passage of Scripture and what the writer of Isaiah here is saying to us, he says, remember you not the former things. Now, let me prerequisite that by saying God does not want us to forget who he is, what he's done. Listen, he even tells us in the Word of God, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. There's some ways that's been proven. There's some things that God's laid down for us to know that we can trust him and that we can know he's for real. But what the writer is getting at here is he's saying, hey, it's not doing you any good just to remember the old victories, just to remember the things God's done great in your life before, to remember how he's blessed you before, to say, I once remember when he was. I once remember when he did. Listen to me, friend. That's the problem with the churches today all across America is we have a lot of people sitting in the house of God, remembering what he used to be to them and not experiencing what he is today in their lives. Don't have a fresh moving of God in their lives, a fresh stirring of God in their spirit, God working in them and God helping them. And listen, not only can our past victories not sustain us, but one thing we need to make sure is that our past defeats are not defining us. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? You look at the people of Israel. Here's what I want you to think about. They had failed God miserably. Every time he blessed them with good, they returned to him evil. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Let me give you some examples that I wrote down. God gave them a temple, and they continued in idol worship. Every time God blessed them with something, they didn't respect it, and they gave him evil in return. God gave them truth, but the children of Israel lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them the Ten Commandments. What did they do? They treated them as they were good suggestions, didn't they? They didn't heed to them and follow them with all their heart. God even blessed his people with great wealth and great outpouring of blessing upon their life. But what did they do with it? They used it to abuse the poor. God even went as far to the Israelite people to give his son and give himself. And they rejected it. You say, what are you getting at there, Brother Jason? Listen. We can't, they had failed God. When you look at the children of Israel, God had every reason to give up on them. God had every reason to say to them, hey, you're getting just what you deserve. I have tried and tried and tried and poured out and poured out and poured out to you and tried to help you and tried to encourage you, tried to give you good things, but you've not done nothing but return it unto me in evil. And God could have said, hey, let me help you understand that you're getting just what you deserve. But I want you to understand that we cannot be defined by our past failures. Hey, we're going to let God down. We're going to miss him at times. We're going to make mistakes at times. There's going to be times that we say, God, I miserably failed you, but you need to stand on the Word of God that says to us this. Look at Isaiah 55, 7 and 9. If you can't turn there, just listen. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man in thoughts. Listen, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for what was he going to do? The Bible says he abundantly pardons. And here's what I love when you go on in that passage of Scripture in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Here's what he says. My thoughts are not as your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You say, Brother Jason, what are you getting at through that passage of Scripture? Listen to me. God wants us to understand that when we forsake our sinful ways and we come back to him, and even when we failed him and the things that we thought was what God would want and they failed him miserably, God says, hey, forsake them ways, come back to me, turn back to me, return unto me. And he said, here's what you'll find when you do that. I'll have mercy and I'll abundantly pardon. Now here's what I love, and that's good enough. That's enough right there to shout glory about. But then here's what he says. For my thoughts are not as your thoughts, and my ways are not as your ways. You say, what does that mean, Brother Jason? Well, listen to me. How many of us, now, you don't raise your hand, all right, because I don't want you to condemn yourself or make yourself look bad, but I'll be the first to admit, I've been guilty of saying, they get just what they deserve. Come on. How many of us have been guilty? Don't raise your hand, but you know in your heart. We've looked at people when they failed, or we've looked at ministries or churches or different aspects of people's life. And when things don't go the way that they should, if we're not careful, we'll judge and we'll say, well, they got what they deserved. I mean, God had tried to be good to them and they ran from God, and now it's God's not pouring out. They're getting what they deserve. But listen to me. Can I tell you what God says? God says, I am a God of mercy. I'm a God of grace. My thoughts are not... Listen, we're the type of people that we think, yeah, you get what you deserve. But God's the type of God to give us not what we deserve, but what he desires for us. And so we need to understand that when God's not doing... When God's not real in our lives today, and God's not doing a new thing today in our life, the first thing we need to understand is that because we failed him in the past, don't let that define us. Realize that God wants us to turn back to him and not say, well, I'm getting what I deserved because I miserably failed God. Here's what God wants you to understand. Listen, forsake your way. Give me your thoughts. Return unto me. And he says, I will have mercy upon him. I will abundantly, this is what I love about that word, abundantly pardon. I love that word because pardon means, listen, you're set free. Pardon doesn't mean you're on probation, amen? When a person's put on probation, man, they can be put back into confinement again by the act of wrong that they have done. But when you're pardoned, listen, they can never hold that against your account again. And God said, hey, when you come to me and you forsake and you ask me to forgive, I will abundantly pardon you. Aren't you thankful for that? God said, don't let your past failures define you. Hey, listen to me. Whether it be in life, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in church, whether it be in your home, in your family, in your personal walk with God, I believe there's all of us here would say we wish we could do a few things different in our walk and our service for God. But don't let your failures define you. Don't let, friend, your past successes be what's sustaining you. And listen, don't let past faith be what you try to suffice or you use to suffice you. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Listen to this. Think about this. Not only had they had great successes, but they had had great feats of faith. They had stepped out and seen God do great things. But listen, yesterday's success was not enough. But not only that, the yesterday's faith was not enough. Sometimes we're guilty of thinking because God done great things in the past that my faith is where it needs to be in him. Can I tell you, we need fresh faith for today? Think about them. Think about the children of Israel, and then I want you to apply this to your own life. They had experienced God's protection through the blood during the Passover. God had protected them. They exercised faith that if I slay the lamb, I put the blood over the doorpost, God will pass by. He will, his anger will be sustained, and he will not kill our firstborn, they exercised that faith. God done what he said he would do. The Red Sea, conquering Canaan, building the temple. Listen, all these things were exercises of faith. But when you come to this passage in Isaiah 43, here's what you find. They're in captivity, and they need God to do something new. They need God to do something fresh. They're in a dry period. They're in a place that they need something new from God. And so here's what God said. That's why he says, hey, remember ye not the former things. Not that the former things were bad things. Not that all the former things were things that they needed to totally wipe from their mind. But what the prophet Isaiah was saying to them is the former things ain't doing you anything now. You need a fresh move of God, and God's going to do that for you. Don't lose hope in who he is and what he wants to do today. Realize he's got something new that he's trying to do. And so here's what he says to them. He says, neither consider the things of old. Notice what he says, behold. You know, when you think about that word, behold, he says, set back and watch. I'm going to do a new thing. Set back and observe that I'm going to do a new thing. And here's what you need to understand. Clarify. Not only do you need as a child of God to change your focus, but clarify your focus. You ever tried to focus in? Any of you guys that's ever shot a gun or looked through binoculars or anything like that, you pull them up, but you had to clarify what you're looking at. God wants us to clarify our focus. You say, what does that mean, Brother Jason? You come to a place in your life, you say, what does God want for me? What does God want for me today? Oh, God, you've been real in the past. God, you've done great things in the past. You've showed yourself mighty in the past. You've caused me to step out in faith in the past. But what do you want for me today? Listen, when you evaluate your life, here's what I want to ask you. Do you see possibilities or do you see problems? How do you evaluate your life? How do you evaluate where you're at with God? When you look at God, do you see him making a way or do you see the wilderness? You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Anybody ever heard the saying, they can't see the forest for all the trees? Huh? What are you looking at? What is God doing in your life today? How is God working in your life today? What are you seeing as you look at your life? Are you seeing all the problems? Listen, you say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Notice this. All they seen in this passage of Scripture, we find that they seen a wilderness. They seen a desert. All they seen was the bad of what was in front of them. But God seen what he was about to do. God seen what he was about to do. Listen, if we're not careful, here's what happens in our lives. We lose faith. That's why we need God to breathe fresh faith in us. We lose hope and desire for what God can do. We lose what God's wanting to do. All we see is the problems in front of us. And God says, hey, you need to get past the problems and realize there's possibility with me. You say, what does that mean, Brother Jason? Notice what he says. He says, I'll make a way in the wilderness. Anybody ever seen a wilderness? I grew up in southern Arkansas down there where they had the pine trees. And one thing bad about the pine trees was they would drop them pines out of, and man, the straw would be all over the ground. But not only that, it would start producing little sprigs everywhere. And the forest down there, the woods down there, you killed a deer, friend, you better drop him right where he stands. Because you go to hunting for him, you're going to crawl through some thick, nasty, nasty stuff because the undergrowth was so horrible. It was literally like a wilderness when you went in there. And I remember guys that had been in Vietnam and different things, they hated it down there, they said, because it reminded them of when they were in the Vietnam and the just the jungles. They said, it's bad. Listen, you say, what are you getting at, Brother Jack? They didn't see no way. They didn't see a path. They didn't see a clearance to go down. God said, all you're seeing is a wilderness. But he said, when I look at it, I see a path that I'm going to make. I see a way that I'm going to bring you through. I see hope and I see possibility. He said, hey, all you see is a desert. But he said, I see rivers in the desert. See, what God wants us to understand is when we clarify our focus, we get to the place we say, God, I don't see what you're going to do, but I believe you want to do, and I know you're going to do, and God, I'm just going to trust you, and I want to clarify my focus, and my focus, God, is this, that what you want to do is what I want to do. Where you want to go is where I want to go. When I don't see a way, God, I know you're still working, you're still desiring to move and to work and to labor, and God, I just want to trust you and follow you. we clarify our focus. When you begin to look at this, you see this. They had a choice. They had a choice. They could focus on what they seen, or they could focus on what God was wanting to do. Listen, you've got a choice tonight in your life. You can focus on what you see, or you can focus on what God wants to do. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jason? Here's what you need to realize in your life, friend, and in our church, in our ministry, in raising your children, in praying for your family. Listen, God is working all the time. God has a plan and a desire of what He's wanting to do. And He's going to work His will whether we get in on it or not. Do you believe that? God's going to work His will whether we get in. God's always working. We don't start something and say, hey, God, join us. What our goal is to do is find out where God's working and get in on it. See, because God's, and what we have to choose is, are we going to see what we see, or are we going to see what God sees? That's clarifying the focus as spiritual men and women of God. Listen, you must see yourself, friend, as God sees you. You say, what do you mean by that? Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You say, Brother Jason, what do you mean by you must see yourself as God sees you? Listen, I said this a while ago, but many of us assume when things ain't right in a person's life, they're getting what they deserved. I want you to see what God says in His Word. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8, He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is He saying here? He's saying, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. God's not looking to condemn us for our past failures. God's not looking to condemn us for the things that we've done in the past. We got to see ourselves as God sees us, and that is blood-bought children of God whom He wants to anoint and bless and progress and put His hands upon and use and use us in ways that we've not even dreamed of. You look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, He says this, you that were sometimes alienated, enemies. Listen, I love this. Enemies in your mind by wicked works. Let me stop right there and clarify what God is saying to us here. He's saying in our mind, we make ourselves enemies of God because we've done things that was contrary to God. And we think we're enemies of God. And listen, when we're walking in the flesh, let me help you understand, the Bible says that is at enmity with God. That's meaning we're fighting against God. But what we need to understand is we don't continue to be an enemy to God when we come to a place that we want to be reconciled to God. Listen what He says. You that were sometimes alienated, if we're not careful in our mind, we alienate ourselves because we failed God. We look at ourselves and think, God, you're just giving me what all this bad, all this negative, all this non-progressiveness, all this just sitting idle, all this not experiencing your blessings, God, this is what I deserve. God says, you're alienating yourself in your mind because of your wicked works. Look what He says. Your enemies in your mind by your wicked works. Yet now have I reconciled in the body of my flesh through death, that I may present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. Listen, we ought to stop right there and take a session of just shouting, amen? God says, I came and I have tried with my works through my Son Jesus Christ to reconcile. You were enemies, but while I'm not going on your works, I'm going on the works of my Son Jesus Christ, and I reconciled you back to good works that I might present you unto the Father holy. Listen, there ain't no way you can be holy. Blameless, there ain't no way you can be blameless. Listen, when you think about unreprovable, there ain't no way you can be that in God's sight except for the work of Jesus Christ. And He says, you need to see yourself. Listen to me. You and I are worth more than we think we're worth. To God, we're worth more than we ever dreamed. God said, I bought you by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. If you've accepted my blood, I bought you. And I've come that no matter what you've done, what sin you've committed, what work you've done, how you think you failed the Father and God can't use you, I've come to reconcile you back and make you holy vessel, unblameable, unreprovable in the sight of God when I present you to Him. Amen. What a thought. What a thought. Then, he says, I want you to see the possibilities that I see. You say, what is that, Brother Jason? Turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. I love this verse of Scripture, one of my favorites. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. This ought to be a theme verse for us as the children of God. You say, why, Brother Jason? Well, God challenges us as His people. Walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we have to step out in the faith of the unknown, in the areas of the unknown, and realize that God is able and see the possibilities that God sees. You say, what is that, Brother Jason? Well, hey, there are things in the work of God, in the prayers of the saints, when you're praying for your children and it looks impossible, when you're praying for lost souls or you're knocking on doors and hoping people will come to know Christ, and we're living in a wicked world and there's a church corner on, or a church on every corner, you're thinking, man, it's impossible to build a work for God. God says, what is impossible with men? Listen to this. Here's what He says. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, I love this, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You say, what do you mean by that? What's God? Listen, when I read this passage of Scripture, my heart leaps within me, because here's what I think about. With God, the things we dream of that God do spiritually for us. The prayers we pray that we think, man, it's going to take a miracle. Huh? How many's done that before? Pray it, but then in the back of your mind think, it's going to take a miracle for God to do that one right there. Listen, God says, yeah, with you it is impossible, but with me it's possible. Hey, when I dream as a pastor and think about what God can do as a church, there's times that I know I'm dreaming and it seems impossible, but with God it's possible. God says, what's impossible with men is possible with me. He says, things that seem impossible, they're not with God. For with God, all things. You ought to underline that in your Bible. All things. Brother Jason, does that really mean what it says? That's exactly what it says. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God. He says, for with God, all things are possible. Can God save my children? God says He can. Can God save my lost, wicked family? God says He can. It seems impossible with man, but God can do it. Amen. Can God build a church in today's time that's conservative and stands on the Word of God? God says He can. Amen. Can God help my children to grow up in a church that is lively and on fire, but yet holds to the old paths and the old way? God said He can. God said it can happen. With God, all things, amen, are possible. And I'm thankful for that. Then thirdly, in closing, here's the final thought. Not only, friend, do you need to change your focus, clarify your focus, but then we have to commit ourselves to what God is doing. Listen, children of Israel didn't even have a clue at this time that Isaiah's writing, that God had set in motion the people and the events that was going to lead them out of the captivity they were in. Put them back, excuse me, into the land of blessing. But I want you to get a hold of this. Here's the key. God had done set into motion those events and those people. But it was up to them to decide if they wanted what God was going to offer. They had a, listen, you say, people's asked me, Brother Jason, why are you Free Will Baptist? Because I believe we have a free will. God can want and desire to give us stuff, but He still gives us the opportunity to choose whether we're going to accept it or reject it. Why? Because we're not robots. He's not going to make us do anything. God is going to, listen, have a plan. And can I tell you something? God's going to fulfill His plan with me or without me. With you or without you. God will do His plan. Why? Because it's His name at stake. It's not my name at stake. It's His kingdom at stake, not my kingdom at stake. It's His work at stake, not mine. Listen, God wants to use me and He wants to use you. He wants us to be in on it, but we have a decision to make and a plan to make, and that's what the people of Israel, God was showing here. Listen, it was up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. If they refused God's plan, here's the thing that you'll find as you read about the children of Israel. If they had refused God's plan to follow where He was leading, they would have been doomed forever. Think about that just a sec. Listen, that's why as a pastor, as a father, as a Christian man, It's so important to me to want to hear God's plan. I'm not talking about just as a pastor for the church. That's vitally important to me because this is kingdom work, amen? But I realize that it's vital in the decisions I make in my home. It's vital in the decisions I make with my children. It's vital in the decisions I make with my finances and everything that I do. God has a plan, and I have to commit myself to His plan because literally I am just an agent that God is working through. And He wants me to be in on His plan. And if I don't listen, I'm the one that suffers the consequences. Amen. The children of Israel had a choice. God had done put in order what He was going to do. And He said to them, you either follow it or you will be doomed. See, the danger of that is this. It came down to a place of trust. It came down to a place of trust. And we've used this several times, but I want you to grasp this and get a hold of it. You say, Brother Jason, why is it your favorite verse? Because of this right here. We have to commit ourselves to God's plan. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Dad, mom, God has a plan for your family. Husband, wife, God has a plan for your family. God has a desire for you as an individual, single person. God has a plan for you. Don't get ahead of God. Don't rush God. Know that God has a plan for you. And your job is to do this. Trust and obey. See, the reason I love Proverbs chapter 3 is when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hey, it's easy to trust God with things that I have no control of sometimes and think, well, I can't fix it either way. I'll just go ahead and trust Him with that. But God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. And I love them words all. That's why I love this verse so much. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. See, God wants me to acknowledge Him in my focus. God wants me to acknowledge Him in my desires. God wants me to acknowledge Him in my plans, that my plans may not be His plans and my thoughts may not be His thoughts and my ways not be His ways, but He has a plan. And listen, I believe with all my heart that when we really begin to seek God, God will reveal to us His... We don't have to walk in the dark and wonder what is God's plan. I've learned when I was a teenager, I used to think, boy, it'd be nice if God showed me His plan. You know what I realize the older I get? He's written it all right here. And He'll show it to me if I'll dig for it. God will show me His plan. There ain't nothing in my life God wants to keep from me. There ain't nothing in His plan God wants to hide from me. Can I tell you more than I desire to be in God's plan and His will? God desires I be in His plan and His will. More than I desire the blessings of God, God desires to bless me. And the more that I get in the Word, I begin to learn that because I begin to learn that His ways are higher than my ways. His desires are higher than my thoughts. His plans are bigger than my plans. His desire to save the whole world is what He put His Son on the cross for, what He let Him shed His blood for. He had bigger plans than I've ever dreamed of. And so when I begin to wonder what is God's plan for my life, all I got to do is get in this book and submit my will to His will. And He'll lay it out perfectly for me, where He wants me and what He wants me to do and where He wants me to get in and where He wants me to be a part of. And how He wants me to lead my family, how He wants me to lead my children, how He wants me to spend my money, how He wants me to use my time. Listen, God will begin to show me on all of those things that I wonder about. God will guide me and direct me in them. What does He want me doing? What does He want me a part of? What does He want me involved in? God will show me all that the more I seek Him. Because listen, God says, seek me with your whole heart and you'll what? You'll find me. You want to know the heart of God? You seek Him out. You want to know the plan of God? You commit yourself to knowing it. Commit yourself to finding it. Commit yourself to getting in on it. And God will put you right in the middle of it. And listen to me, it'll be the greatest joy you ever find in your life. The greatest joy you ever find. You'll never regret following God's plan for your life. Following God's plan for your home. Following God's plan for everything that you desire to do and accomplish in your life. And so we see here that God tells us, hey, I'm doing a new thing. I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. I'm going to make a river in the desert. You ever seen them old commercial or old cartoons how, man, they were excited just to find a little bit of water in the desert? God said, I ain't going to give you just a little bit of water. I'm going to give you a river. Now, I could preach on that for a while, but I'll not, all right? You think about the power and the authority and the freshness of a river. God said, I'm not going to give you a little blessing. I'm going to do something new in your life that is a great blessing unto you. You think about a river, hey, things grow beside a river, amen? God said, where people think things won't grow, I'm going to make things grow. Where people think there ain't no source of water, I'm going to give great water. Listen, there's all kinds of things you could run with there and preach, but God said, hey, I want you to understand that you see the impossibilities, I see the possibilities. I see what I can do. With me, nothing is impossible. Do you believe that tonight? Listen, God wants to do a new thing in your life. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Jay? He wants to show himself new again to you, fresh to you, increasing your faith, increasing your hope, increasing your desire for him, increasing your prayer life for him, and trusting that God can do what you're asking him to do. Because with him, nothing is impossible. It's all in where your focus is. It's all in getting in his plan and knowing what he wants for your life. Let's stand together. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege we have to be in your house. Lord, what a joy and what an honor it is to be with your people in your house tonight.